everyone, and welcome to this week's Off The Bench podcast with me, Lee, from FPL Family.
And myself, Oscar, or probably you know me as FPL Focal.
Oscar, welcome to your official FPL podcast debut. This is the first time we've had you on any of the podcasts, so welcome. I'm hoping that you're here with a good game week score. How'd it go?
Yeah, well, sorry to let you down, but it wasn't a great game week, actually. I think we're in the same boat this week. A few disappointments, but I noticed we scored the same with the same players frustrating us. So lots to talk about there, but excited to be here.
Good. It's nice to have you here. I must admit, I don't know how you felt, but I thought it was a tough game week. It was a tough. We've had some tough game weeks, haven't we, over the first 15 of this season. But this one in particular, we had bench rotations. We had Haaland and Foden benched early on in the early kickoff. We had Mitrovic as well benched in that game as well. I, for one, had Andreas on the bench. Didn't know that he was the substitute penalty taker when Mitrovic isn't around. And then I had the Pope clean sheet wipeout with the consolation goal from Southampton. So listen, lots to be discussed, as you rightly say. Where should we start? Should we, selfishly, I wouldn't mind starting with the Liverpool and Spurs game that we had on Sunday, just because it was a good result for my team. Before I dive into my thoughts on Liverpool and indeed Spurs, what did you make of the game?
Yeah, it was a good game. I don't think particularly either team looked, you know, better than the other. Could have gone either way, I thought, but yeah, it was Salah again, and a bit of a headache, Salah, because I actually sold him for KDB, which I felt like was an opportunity, but a bad one as that played out. But yeah, Nunez picked up an assist, two goals for Salah, Liverpool clean sheet wipeout. Yeah, I think he struggled with players like Son missing. Kulusevski came off the bench, immediate impact. Yeah, what did you think?
Well, I thought we were pretty good. Certainly in the first half, I thought the intensity from Spurs was lacking, though. When I say Liverpool were good, I would say I think we were just that. I don't think it was an exceptional performance by any stretch of the imagination. I've really got an eye on Darwin Nunez, though, and I'm kind of interested to see how he and Salah's relationship develops as we go through the World Cup and out the other side into the new calendar year in FPL, because as a Salah owner, don't get me wrong, I was very happy. In fact, he saved my game week a little bit this week. But the relationship between him and Nunez is kind of developing, and we're starting to see Nunez, although he got the assist, didn't he, for the first Salah goal, he is a pretty kind of selfish striker. He does like to take that shot on, has got an eye for goal.
Well, yeah, that was the concern. You know, he's quite a selfish player, so I did wonder what impact that'd have on Salah this season, you know, whether they develop a partnership. Certainly Salah started slowly, perhaps as a consequence of that. We observed Salah was playing wider early in the season, but it looks like Klopp's, you know, finally starting to realise, he knows better than us, of course, but he's finally starting to realise that, you know, Salah needs to be playing further forward, perhaps more centrally. So we're seeing that as well. And we are seeing them link up, which is good to see. It's promising, and it's a good fixture right before the World Cup, Southampton at home. Nunez definitely on my radar.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions, actually. Having sold Salah now, going into that Southampton game, and we've had not a good result for Southampton at the weekend at home, losing to a very good Newcastle side. We'll talk about them in a second with Mickey Almiron just absolutely on fire. We've got to talk about him. But now Liverpool going into that game, you'd think with heavy favourites, you'd think that they're going to want to react after the last home game outing against Leeds, which was particularly poor. What are you doing in FPL about Liverpool then, Oscar? I mean, you're bringing Salah back in or going for a bit of a punt on Nunez?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Maybe that's... I think we all suffer from that, a bit of stubbornness in FPL. If you sell a player, it's difficult to bring them straight back. There is that option to go De Bruyne straight back to Salah. But yeah, I think I'll probably swerve it. It's probably a bit sideways. I can understand it. What I take encouragement from perhaps is that I think most people will be back on Haaland captain, assuming he's back, which is probably likely now he's made an appearance off the bench. Yeah. So perhaps there's a lesser of a point swing there. It's not like people will be piling in on Salah captain. I think the default will be Haaland again with him back in the fold.
Yeah, particularly with that fixture, right? Brentford at home looks like such a strong fixture for City. Just before we move to City, just to finish up on Liverpool, any thoughts on Liverpool defenders ahead of that Southampton game? Or is it just a case of KDB back to Salah or Nunez coming in? Those are the two I think that FPL managers will have their eyes on.
Yeah, you know what? One move I'm actually looking at is Trippier to Robertson or Trent, probably Robertson. I don't think I can get to Trent without a minus four. You know, with Newcastle up against Chelsea, you never know if they get a clean sheet wipe out there. Perhaps it's an opportunity to bet against the masses for 1 week. So I quite like the idea of that. And I am doubled up with Pope in my case. So it reduces the risk a bit. And if Chelsea do score against Newcastle, then that's one clean sheet wipe out, not two. And perhaps I'll get something from Robertson to make up the difference. What do you think?
Oh, well, let's move on to Newcastle then. We've got to go back to Man City at some stage, but let's move on to them. I cannot believe, Oscar, you're thinking of selling Trippier after that performance at the weekend. And I know we were a little bit jammy as FPL owners to get that clean sheet locked in because he got subbed off before the consolation goal, which, by the way, as a Nick Pope owner, was a very difficult one to swallow. And another thing that went against me this week, but I'm going to stop whinging about my game week. Chelsea looking a little bit blunt in attack against Arsenal. Some defensive issues, no N'Golo Kante, a bit of a lack of cohesion there. I mean, Potter's got to have time to stamp his kind of identity across that team. The Chelsea fans got to give him time, no doubt about it. But blown away by Arsenal. There's only 1-0, but the eye test suggested that Arsenal could have scored more and probably should have scored more in that game. So I don't know if I'd be selling Trippier ahead of what looks like a pretty plum home tie. Newcastle, very good at home as well, right?
They are, you're right. Yeah, it's a difficult sell. It just feels like an opportunity for 1 week. And I think, you know, with the World Cup looming, we've got this opportunity to take a 1 week punt, whether that's selling Trippier or perhaps on another player. I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, potential 1 week punts. There's lots of ways you can go, which is exciting. It feels like you're almost obligated to take that 1 week punt right before we get to the World Cup.
Yeah.
It's just which way to go. You know, it might largely depend on some other players as well. You know, there were a few disappointments, like you said. Wilson was off at halftime. Mitrovic didn't feature.
Yes.
So we'll have to see what happens with those guys as well. They might.
Did
be
you have Callum Wilson
block.
In your team?
I did. I had a nightmare. I sold Tony, who was, of course, suspended. So Wilson was the obvious pick, wasn't he? The form he's shown, you know, arguably playing his way into Southgate's plans. But yeah, he had the cold, which Hal was asked about in his presser. And, you know, Hal was saying he's a little bit of a cold, but he's fine. But yeah, lo and behold, he did come off at halftime as a consequence. He was low on energy, supposedly, as a result of that. So one pointer for Wilson, disappointing.
Oh, it's deeply frustrating, wasn't it? Especially as Chris Wood comes on and gets the goal as his replacement, wasn't it? Over a million managers bought him in ahead of the last game week deadline, by the way. So it wasn't just you and I that did the Tony to Callum Wilson switch. Many would have done that. And I think, even though Ivan Toney's coming back into the fold, he's got, I think they've got City away, haven't they, Brent? A very difficult fixture. So it seemed absolutely sensible and fine to get Callum Wilson, particularly ahead of the form that he showed in previous game weeks. Obviously, you know, Sam didn't bring Callum Wilson in and she was saying, oh, you're just chasing the points. The 19 points is gone. You're just going to... And I said, no. Listen, they're going to score some goals at Southampton because Southampton's defence is a little bit all over the place. And they did. But, you know, he didn't have enough cold and flu tablets, didn't have his Beechams at halftime and got hauled off. No panic, though, for me on my Newcastle assets. I don't know about you, Oscar, but I've got Pope, Trippier and Callum Wilson. I'm pretty happy sticking with those three and trebling up against Chelsea.
I've got the same three. Yeah, it's just whether I back Chelsea to score or not. Obviously, they were fairly toothless against Arsenal. And as you say, Newcastle are very good at home. So, yeah, I'm happy with Wilson and Pope, assuming that they both play. Trippier has been excellent as well. You know, make no mistake, he's the top scoring defender. So it's a difficult sell. I'm just at that point where I'm thinking about 1 week punts, you know, a potential opportunity to move up against the masses. And the masses have Trippier, which is, I think, an opportunity. But yeah, it is a risk. You know, of course, he could do what he's done plenty of times this season and get an attack in return. They could keep a clean sheet. So it's a bit of a gamble.
And one of the players I mentioned a second ago before we move on from Newcastle, we can't go on an FPL podcast without talking about Miguel Almiron right now. I mean, what a player. I have to say, I listened to some commentary after the game talking about the impact that Trippier is having on Almiron on that side. And actually the fact that Trippier's leadership and he's kind of talking Almiron through games, he's having a real impact on Miggy Almiron's game, in my opinion. But he can't stop scoring, this guy. And actually, if Messi or Ronaldo had scored that goal that he scored at the weekend, we'd be watching it on YouTube on a loop, wouldn't we? Talk to me about how much FOMO you've got about not having Almiron. You and I have got the same three Newcastle players, so therefore we're kind of locked out of getting Almiron without a bit of surgery in our teams. I feel, I hate to say it, a little bit exposed. He's firing on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, I was hoping Wilson would be enough to cover that. You know, because either of them are capable of getting something. He's having an incredible season. 1 point behind KDB, who must be way more than double his price, you know, and he's 1 point behind him. 8 goals, 1 assist. He's finally looking like the player they hoped they'd signed way back when. It's remarkable that it's just suddenly happened now, you know, after his, I think it's his fifth season. So, yeah, it's incredible. I'm a little bit worried about him, but, you know, it's 1 week, it's Chelsea, so... You feel how much damage can he really do? Hopefully not too much.
Famous last words, Oscar. Famous last words.
Yeah, I was thinking in my head, should I say that out loud? Because that's going to be one we'll come back to. But yeah, certainly the other side of the World Cup, he'll be in all our plans, all our teams, no doubt. You know, 5.6 mil for what he's doing. Incredible value. I just got to hope he doesn't hurt us too much versus Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, certainly if you're going to sell Trippier and no Almiron going into that Chelsea game, I'm a little bit worried about that, man. But Callum Wilson, yeah, I expect him to be back. Let's wait to see what Eddie Howe says. Let's wait on news on him. But hopefully he can shake off that cold ahead of Chelsea at home. Talk to me about your team then. So Chelsea, we've mentioned a couple of times, were a little bit blunt against Arsenal, but you know, let's take nothing away from the Gunners. Very, very good performance again, going away to Stamford Bridge and grinding out that win. In the end, it was a little bit of a kind of weird and scrappy goal, wasn't it, from a Saka corner that Gabriel just tapped over the line, but still plenty of chances for Arsenal. And the player I'd like you to focus on and give us your opinion on, Oscar, as an Arsenal fan, is Gabriel Jesus. So hasn't scored now for a few weeks, and his FPL owners might be getting maybe a little bit itchy, maybe thinking of a sideways move to Nunez for that Southampton game, but still fundamentally a very important cog in that Arsenal machine, and getting assists in recent weeks as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not quite the goal scorer. He's never really been that kind of player. He does score, but he offers so much more than just his goals. But it is funny how it's played out. You know, at the start of the season, we thought, oh, he's criminally underpriced at 8 mil. But, you know, right now, he's not on many of our teams. I would say Martinelli and Saka are the two. And then the third is, you know, probably a defender. Yeah, you know, we saw Gabriel score again. He's topped this season among defenders for expected goals. It probably would have been a Saka goal, to be honest. I think it was going straight in.
He celebrated like it was his goal, didn't he? Saka?
Yeah.
Bit of a knee slide going on.
Yeah, it was a foot off the line. It was going in anyway, but Gabriel was there to make sure. But yeah, as I say, he's topped this season for expected goals, Gabriel. Saliba's been phenomenal. He's played his way comfortably into France's World Cup squad, perhaps even a starter. So yeah, I think, the other side of the World Cup, if you're not ready, you want to be tripled up on Arsenal. So I think it'd be Martinelli, Saka and a defender. Jesus, he's just not quite offering it. I think there's other forwards that are more tempting.
Yeah, and I was watching the game and I noticed Ben White getting forward quite a bit in that kind of right back slot, which he seems to have made his own, actually. He whizzed a couple past the post. He was getting in and around the box, touches in and around the box, which as an FPL owner, I've got Ben White right now. It's a bit disappointing that he picked up the yellow card, but still a five-pointer in a game week, which was tough for me, by the way. I celebrated that five-pointer like it was a haul, quite frankly. He looks like the Arsenal defender of choice, would you agree? Or does Gabriel give you that little bit of extra goal threat that you might want in FPL?
Yeah, Gabriel certainly has the goal threat. Perhaps White has more the assist threat. White's not really had any shots at goal this season. So certainly Gabriel's the one with the higher upside, but you get what you pay for. You know, I think White must be 4.5, 4.6, whereas Gabriel is actually back an extra 0.7 or so.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, you get what you pay for in that respect. I think White's a good option as well, certainly. We have seen him substituted early plenty of times this season, which for a defender is actually a good thing because it's not a substitution Arteta's been making before 60 minutes. So we're seeing those clean sheets locked in more often than not. So, yeah, I think he's certainly an option as well, just perhaps less attacking threat.
Yeah, it looks good. I think I've got City down to win the league, I think, is where my gut feeling is. But
so.
your boys are definitely staking their claim. It'd be interesting to see how they get on after the World Cup and how whether the players can come back all fit and firing like they were or like they are right now. They're really, really on fire. So let me kind of segue from Arsenal then into where Unai Emery is nowadays. He's playing his trade up at Villa Park. And I have to say, that performance from Aston Villa was full of dynamism. It was full of joie de vivre, wasn't it? I mean, they had the 4-0 a couple of weeks ago when they sacked Steven Gerrard, which seemed to be a bit of a kind of a new manager stroke, no manager bounce. Then they had a bit of a, back down to earth with a 4-0 defeat to Newcastle. But we've seen other teams go down to Newcastle, and that's not necessarily Newcastle are going to beat a lot of teams this season. They're a very, very good side. But this result against Manchester United, I have to say, I watched the highlights. I thought Leon Bailey was very, very good, took his goal really well, and a very confident looking performance from him. And even the players that didn't pick up the FPL points, you know, I thought Ollie Watkins played particularly well. Tyrone Mings was very good at the back as well for Aston Villa. So what are we saying about Aston Villa now under Unai Emery? You've got some experience of supporting a team under this manager. Is he going to do the business at Aston Villa? Is this a team that we should be looking at for maybe a one-week punt going into game week 16, given that they're away at Brighton, not the easiest fixture, but they definitely look full of confidence and full of attacking intent.
Yeah, I'm definitely expecting some new manager bounce there. I don't know if they're worth going there for a one-week punt, perhaps. But yeah, it certainly was a statement, as you say, after Gerrard sacked 4-0, you know, even managerless. So it was an impressive result. As you say, Newcastle's always tough, and they weren't managerless then as well. But beating Man United 3-1, huge result.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll go there this week as a one big pump, but I am expecting a new manager bounce, certainly, as is often the case. But yeah, his time at Arsenal wasn't that fondly remembered. I remember he started with two losses on back-to-back, and I thought, oh no, this is, you know, we've made a mistake here. It's like, you know, Moyes taking over United all over again after, you know, Wenger's legacy. And then he went on a streak of about 11 games without losing, and I started to believe, but yeah, he never really got going. A lot of disappointing results. It was pretty poor towards the end. But he is an exceptional manager. You know, he's won 3 Europa Leagues with Sevilla. He's got a good record of winning trophies. So I think he's a great acquisition for Villa. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, with his record as being a cup manager, if he takes them far, you know, in the League Cup, FA Cup in this season or in the future.
Yeah, well, he's saying all the right things, isn't he? I remember him coming out immediately and saying, you know, answering the question, what are you hoping to achieve at Aston Villa? He came straight out, you know, I want to win trophies. And the Aston Villa faithful will respond to that, you know, obviously. And I think we saw that at the weekend. The Villa fans, I mean, Villa Park was a bit of a cauldron at the weekend for Manchester United to come into. And we'll talk about Erik ten Hag's decision to play and start and indeed captain Cristiano Ronaldo in just a second. But I do want to finish up on Aston Villa because there's a couple of players there that I'm interested in. Jacob Ramsey, of course, got easy to pick him out because he got the goal and 2 assists. I know he got an own goal as well. So he's on the now.
And an own goal.
Yeah, right. So he's on the very
eventful game for him.
Very eventful game. I don't know what FPL points he ended up on, but there's a bit of a roller coaster for him. But I mentioned Ollie Watkins and Bailey, but the other gentleman to score a goal was Luca Dean, who seems to be on free kicks, took his free kick sensationally well, didn't he? So, I don't know. Like you, I don't know if I'm going to be going into game week 16, because I do think that that fixture away at Brighton is a difficult one. They've got the new manager as well in De Zerbi. Plenty of attacking intent from them as well with Trossard and Gross, etc. So I've just got my eye on Aston Villa coming out of the World Cup in terms of their fixtures, although they do start quite difficult. It's Liverpool and Spurs in game week 17 and 18, and then it's Wolves and Leeds at home from 19. So let's get the World Cup, you know, done and dusted. And then I think from game week 19, Aston Villa will be firmly on the radar. Would you agree?
I would agree with that, yeah. I think they're in the don't buy, don't sell territory. So if you've got Bailey, for example, you play him this week.
I don't think many have
Ramsey, for example. But, you know, if you've got those kind of players, you certainly play them. You don't sell them away to Brighton. That's my gut feel on them. And we'll have to see how things look after the World Cup.
Yeah, I touched on it just then in terms of their opponents, Manchester United this week. What went wrong? Was it just that it went all right for Villa and they just had this kind of energy from Unai Emery coming into the dressing room? Or were Manchester United not at the races from that perspective? And I'm kind of interested in your take, Oscar, on the whole Ronaldo starting and captaincy from Erik ten Hag as well. It didn't seem to work for them at the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't actually catch this game, but I think there's probably a few factors at play there. First of all, Man United played 3 games in 7 days, which, you know,
yes, true
is
enough,
always testing.
Yeah.
They did have players missing, you know, no Sancho, no Antony, Van der Beek started, you know, Lindelof started in right centre back. He had a reasonable game, to be fair, but I think that's a factor, plus a new manager bounce. I think it just all came together in the wrong way. But yeah, Ronaldo starting captain was interesting. What was your take on that?
I don't think it worked for them at all. And we've seen before in previous games this season, haven't we, how Ronaldo's influence on the pitch can help, but it can also hinder, you know, in terms of his performance. And he seemed to get frustrated throughout the game. There was a little tussle in the box, wasn't there, towards the end where he and Tyrone Mings both got booked. So that was kind of him as captain kind of showing his frustrations, which I guess you don't really want to see as a Manchester United fan. But you're right. I think in the end, it was the fatigue that took over. And there was a few players that Ten Hag had to bring into the team. I think Garnacho actually did pretty well, actually, on his debut. But I don't think any of us are necessarily looking at Manchester United players ahead of that fixture in game week 16. They've got to go to Fulham, which actually is a pretty difficult fixture. How do you see that one working out? Because I've got Mitrovic and I've got Andreas in my FPL team. And I have to say, looking at my team set up for next week, I've put them both in my team. I'm going to start them both as it currently stands. That might change as we get closer to the game week, but fancy Fulham to do Manchester United at the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's going to really boil down to whether Mitch Rich is back or not. I read that it was an ankle problem and he'd flown back to Serbia. So I think it's going to be whether he's around or not. It'll be a huge miss, you would imagine. You know, they did almost sneak a point against City, but, you know, again, they were about Mitch Rich and City were a man down. So I think it's going to largely boil down to that. If he is back, then I agree. I think they could get something against United there. Interesting you're starting Andreas. Again, we were talking about what a frustrating game week 15 it was with, you know, Andreas scoring a penalty on the bench, which I'm sure Mitrovic would have taken. You know, we had the Cancelo red card. Yeah, he's been one of those players this season where he's been more than you could ask for, four and a half mil midfielder. And he delivered again, but yeah, as you say, on many of our benches. So
he seems to get the points. Whenever I stick him on the bench, Oscar, he gets the points. And whenever I need him and I put him in my 11, he seems to get the two-pointer. Yeah. But listen, if Mitrovic is out for that game against Manchester United, I'm definitely going to play Andreas because he's going to be on set pieces. He's going to take the penalties as well, you would think, based on a very well-taken penalty against Manchester City. So yeah, I'll be very reluctant to bench, you know, albeit with that sort of price tag. And I have to get my head around that. I think we as FPL managers have to get our head around that. We have to accept that actually Andreas Pereira is worthy of a place in our starting 11. Just the fact that he's a 4.5 midfielder, in my mind, I always kind of wrongly think, oh, I'll just stick him on the bench then because he's my fifth midfielder in terms of price. But listen, he performed way better than some of my other midfielders and has done for the last few weeks. So exactly, we've got to start thinking about putting this guy in our 11 regularly, right?
Exactly. I agree with that. Yeah, and the good news going back to Cancelo is he'll serve his red card suspension midweek as well. So he will be back for 16. So that's good news. That's one less headache, at least. But yeah, he's the second most sold player, you know, 160,000 have sold Cancelo at the time of recording. But
do you know, that's a really interesting point. That's really interesting because as soon as he got that red card, I immediately started thinking about players that I could bring in for Cancelo. But yes, you're absolutely right. He serves that suspension in the League Cup, so is available for 16. So my advice would be keep him, right?
Oh, he's an easy keep, yeah. And as I say, that's one less headache for us to worry about, yeah, which is good news. And yeah, as we said earlier, it's a good fixture for Game Week 16 before the World Cup, City home to Brentford. I imagine they'll be top of the clean sheet odds. So yeah, I'm happy to have them going into that one.
Yeah, very good. Let's move on to West Ham versus Crystal Palace. And the reason I need to touch on this game is, again, a tale of woe from my game week, really, but it's just not good enough, is it? I got people tuning into this for some FPL insight. And when you hear that actually I took Wilf Sahar out this week and bought in Bowen in his place,
no.
what a transfer that was. And do you know what? I looked at some of the home and away records. This was what kind of swayed my decision there, was that actually West Ham have won 6 at home in all competitions consecutively, right? They've won 3 at home in the league. So, okay, their away form's not so great, but at home, really, really good, right? And they've got 2 really nice home games. They have Palace at the weekend, then they've got Leicester coming up in game week 16. So I thought, with Will Sahar playing 2 away games, and I know one of them's Forest, right, which I'm instantly regretting because I think he could do well against Forest. But with Zahar and Palace's away form, 2 away games, West Ham 2 home games, good home form, easy swap, right? I mean, this is a no-brainer, but it's cost me about 11 or 12 points. So absolutely not my finest hour, that transfer. What are you making of that fixture, right? Because it turned the form book on its head, right? Crystal Palace, we were not expecting to win that game.
No, as you say, Zaha's one of those players, he really does find a way to troll you.
Doesn't
he? I think there is one extra chip that doesn't get mentioned, and that's the Zaha patience chip. So yeah, those held on to Zaha. We're rewarded at last, but it's difficult to argue against that transfer. I also brought in Bowen too, and he's got a very good record at home, as do West Ham. So I brought him in as well. Not for Zaha, I sold Foden, but you know that was only a point gained. Could have been the worst. You know, I was starting to worry when I saw Foden and Haaland warming up. They were going to see points off the bench. But yeah, it's difficult to argue against that one. I still think Bowen's a reasonable pick. You know, we're talking about the one-week punts. I think he's still a great option, but Zaha could do damage. It's a better fixture this week than last week.
Yeah, so talk to me about Zaha then, because would I be wrong to just reverse that transfer going into the next game week? I mean, Bowen looks okay for Leicester at home, although Leicester defensively, I can't talk any more about Danny Ward on these podcasts. Honestly, the guy kills my rank every week with his 6 or 7 points.
Me too, absolutely unreal.
So Bowen and Co, who actually posted their lowest XG in that game at the weekend, given their home form, I was expecting far better from them, but very, very low XG in that game. And then you've got Zaha, who goes to a Forest team who, you know, fight for their lives. They must be looking at that game at home against Palace going, you know, thinking they've got to get the 3 points, but we know they can concede goals. And Palace got to be buoyed by that first away win of the season. I don't want to just reverse my transfer from Bowen to Zaha, but it's on my mind.
Yeah, I don't think I would do it. I think you got to stick with that one. It's one of those.
I've made my bed. I've got to lie in it, right?
You've made your bed. But Zaha, he gets those points. You sell him and he picks up the points. You get him back, you're probably blank again. So I think I would just stick with Bowen at this point.
He's doing as good a job as Andreas on my bench, right? Every time it's the hokey cokey with Zaha when I have him. Yeah, no points. When I take him out, loads of points.
But yeah, we saw Zaha play more centrally through the middle, which perhaps was what led to him having one of his best gamics of the season, 12 points, I think it was. So that's reassuring as well. I'd like to see that again for the Forest game.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. So any more fixtures that we want to discuss for this week? I mean, I don't think we can finish the podcast, Oscar, without talking about Leeds versus Bournemouth. What a comeback from Leeds United. And actually, the kind of intensity, the spirit that you're getting from this Jesse March side now, this kind of up and at 'em approach that I really like from Jesse March, came good for them at the weekend, right? I wonder whether we need to be looking at any of their players for game week 16. I appreciate that Leeds have got a difficult fixture away at Spurs. But listen, if we get the Spurs that have been playing in first halves recently, we might get something out of Jesse Marsh's team, right?
Yeah, it's difficult. Where do you go for the points there? Rodrigo's been having a good season. We've seen players like Somerville emerging. I think he's 4.4 mil. You know, I don't know if
three bonus points at the weekend as well, right?
Three bonus points, good, yeah. I saw an interesting stat. One manager, probably a time traveler, ranked in the top 10,000, Captain Somerville, for that haul.
Nice. Okay, very good. No one saw that coming.
No, well, he did. Yeah, obviously, he hopped out of his TARDIS and stuck the armband on Somerville. But yeah, perhaps the other side of the World Cup, not against Spurs. But yeah, great result. Awful result for Bournemouth, of course, but 4-3, what a match.
Yeah, and what about Bournemouth then? Because they've got, actually on paper, the easier game, let's say, at home to Everton in 16. Again, with them fighting for their lives, they've got to be looking at going, well, listen, we've got to get 3 points out of this. So are we looking at Dom Solanke? Are we looking at Philip Billing? Are we looking at, even Tavernier? Is that how you say his name? Tavernier.
Yeah, he was the top scorer last game week as well. I think it was 16 points he got, which was the highest last game week. But yeah, Solanke we're looking at. Certainly Solanke's a good Mitrovic replacement. If Mitrovic is out, I think that's the more obvious move if you are still a Mitrovic owner.
I have to say that is the one I am looking at. Yeah, let's talk about our teams for next game week, because I want to talk about 1 week punts as well. I want to know where your transfer is going to be, Oscar. But I have to say, if Mitrovic is out, I don't mind a move to Solanke. That's definitely one that I'm looking at. As I said before, I'll end up playing Pereira, I'm pretty sure. I've got to stick with Bowen, haven't I? I can't make that move away from him. I bought him in thinking, you know, two home games. All right, nothing against Palace, but I've got to give him the Leicester game as well. So yeah, talk to me through your team and your possible transfers ahead of game week 16. What are your early thoughts?
Yeah, this week, it largely depends on what happens with Mitrovic and Wilson. And they're both yellow flagged at the moment. Yeah. So if Mitrovic is out, then I think I just have to put the fire out and move him for Solanke. If my entire team's okay, then it's in good shape. Pope in goal, Trippier, Cancelo, Dier, De Bruyne, Zaha, Martinelli and Bowen. And then a front three, Mitrovic, Haaland and Wilson. So I think we'll default back to Haaland captain. But yeah, if Mitrovic is out, that needs addressing. Likewise, if Wilson's out, but I don't think I'll take a -4. I do have Andreas, like yourself, so I'm happy to start him if need be.
And what do you think about taking a hit this week, Oscar? I mean, I'm a big fan of taking hits. I'm not, but I'm a big fan of taking hits if they pay off in the longer term. If I think that I've got, you know, if I can get 3, 4, 5 weeks out of a player and he's showing a bit of form and I really feel like it's the right thing to do, I'll go ahead and take the hit. But in a season where I haven't taken any hits actually so far, I haven't taken any -4s at all, I'm not inclined to take one in game week 16, I have to say, because we haven't got that kind of longer term horizon to get for it to pay back effectively. Because as soon as obviously the game week closes in 16, we will all already be looking at what our unlimited transfer team might look like. We'll be able to make as many transfers as we want. So not a big fan of taking the -4. How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. There's going to be temptation, of course, but in my opinion, I never take -4 hits right before I plan to wildcard. You know, in a normal season, say if I've got a wildcard booked in for the game week after next, I wouldn't take a -4 just before. And this is the same in that respect. We've got the unlimited transfers straight after game week 16's deadline's passed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a 1 week punt. And when you're taking -4s, you want more time for those hits to be repaid. It's off, more often than not a 1 week thing. It can be, but it's a risk, and I think it's a risk to avoid. Unless you're in a really poor situation where you can't field 11, that's when I find it's easy to justify hits.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I don't mind your Mitrovic to Solanke. It's certainly on my mind as well if Mitrovic is out. But I can't help but feel that that's a little bit boring. I mean, Solanke's pretty well owned, right? Talk to me about your top 1 week punts then. So for FPL managers that are looking to have a little bit of fun this game week, Mitrovic to Solanke doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. With somebody a bit more low ownership.
It's not the most exciting transfer. Solanke's fairly low owned overall. You know, those that are on FPL Twitter, for example, you see him talked about a lot, but I think he's under 5% ownership. He's not a bad differential in that respect. But if I was looking purely at 1 week punts in isolation, not even really a punt, to be honest, but it's Nunez for me.
Nunez would be the one.
Nunez is the one. Yeah, 100%.
I think especially without Salah in your side, to have some Liverpool attacking coverage going into that game. Saints, you know, unfortunately for Saints, they do look defensively a little bit exposed at times, certainly did against Newcastle, especially with that through ball, that Trippier to Willock ball. You could see a Liverpool midfielder like Thiago playing the similar sort of pass through to Nunez or through to Salah, couldn't you? So, yeah, I don't mind that. The other kind of players that I'm looking at, one I thought that caught my eye in the Liverpool game was Dejan Kulusevski, actually. I thought Spurs were a different side when he came on, added a different dynamics, and Harry Kane definitely missed those runners in behind. I thought if Richarlison and Kulusevski were fit for that game, it might have been a different outcome for Spurs. And of course, he came on and immediately got the assist. He immediately changed the game. I kind of got my eye on him a little bit. You know, I don't think he's going to be very highly owned in the game. In fact, I know he's not highly owned in the game. He's coming off of a bit of an injury. A lot of the FPL managers out there would have sold him. At home to, a Jesse Marsh team who have just won 4-3 on a bit of a, bit of a bounce, on a bit of a high, might come to attack Spurs at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I wonder whether Kulusevski might get a little bit of space in behind, and they do rate him, right? The crowd reaction when he came on at the weekend was big. The Spurs faithful know what sort of impact Kulusevski can have on the team, and they've missed him, I think. So I kind of got one eye on Kulusevski in, although I would have to sell Bowen to do it, which is a bit counter the narrative that I was just wheeling out a second ago.
Yeah, it depends on your team, doesn't it? I think he's an excellent option. I'd completely overlooked him until you talked about him just then. Yeah, I love the Kulusevski shout. Good fixture. But yeah, talking about 1 week punts, perhaps Spurs, on the subjects of Spurs, Perisic, right? You played in that front three.
Don't mind it. Yeah. What did you make of his performance at the weekend?
I thought he did okay, yeah. It was a tough fixture. It's always going to be difficult. He turned Trent inside out a couple of times. I think it's a great fixture this week. And, you know, playing out of position, which is always a great thing in FPL, I think he's an excellent shout. Good clean sheet potential. But playing in the front three, if he does again, certainly a lot of potential for an attack and return there as well.
Yeah, you could see it as well, couldn't you? You could see a front three of him and Kane and Kulusevski. He was a little bit unlucky in the first half, wasn't it? I think he had one that came off the post. I think it might have been an Alisson own goal rather than a Perisic goal. But listen, he was in the right areas and doing all the right things. I'm not entirely sure that he and that kind of 10 working in and around Harry Kane worked all that well. But if Kulusevski does come back into the team, maybe Perisic is in that kind of more natural position for him on that left-hand side in a front three, which again is a bit more natural for Spurs. They just haven't been playing it quite so well in the previous weeks because they've got so many injuries, got Richarlison out, Kulusevski out, etc. So yeah, I don't mind Perisic as a punt. And of course, being a defender in FPL, not only, you know, you're getting a bit of attacking return if he's in that front three, but if Spurs manage to lock in a clean sheet, he's going to get 4 extra points for that as well. So don't mind that. Yeah, don't mind that at all.
Yeah, and we saw, I think he hit the post, as you said, but he also had a shot rattled off the bar. So took up great areas. So yeah, he's definitely one of my radar. I presume Richarlison's out. I think Son's out until the World Cup as well.
Oh, Son, of course, as well. Yeah.
You'd imagine that Perisic starts again. As you say, it probably could be a front three of Perisic, Kane and Kulusevski. So yeah, those two either side of Kane, great punts.
Nice. Yeah, nice. So on paper, Oscar, our teams look pretty good for the game week. You know what that means. Talk to me just before we go about your captaincy going into the game week. I mean, I must admit, if the big Norwegian is back for Manchester City against Brentford at home, I'm probably going to go there. Have you got any thoughts to go elsewhere? Is your game week 16 punt going to be to back against Haaland, or is that just too risky?
I think it's too risky. I don't want to overthink that one. You know, sometimes in FPL, you can try and get a bit too clever. And I think going against Haaland might be that, if he's expected to be back in the starting 11. I imagine he will be. he only had a couple of training sessions before the last match, so perhaps that's why he was on the bench. But I imagine he'll be fully fit and available to start. And of course, he's one player not going to the World Cup, which is a factor that perhaps we've not discussed enough in recent weeks. There are some players. Salah's another good example. You know, I probably should have factored that into my thinking before selling him for De Bruyne last week. These players have got nothing to lose, you know, and Pep has alluded to the fact that he can sense when some players have got the World Cup at the back of their head and not giving it 100%, because quite understandably, these players don't want to get injured right before the World Cup, which comes every 4 years.
Absolutely.
Opportunity to represent your country. But, you know, in Haaland's case, Salah's case, you know, they're not going. So, yeah, I think it's there's no reason to look past Haaland personally. What do you think?
I have to say I'm between those two, Oscar, to be honest with you, between Haaland and Salah. I mean, Haaland is going to have such a high effective ownership, isn't he? When, you know, a lot of FPL managers put the armband on him. If you don't then do it, even if you've got him in your team, if you don't put the captaincy on him, it really hurts your rank. So there's a little bit of fear in me in not captaining Haaland. But I have to say, given the way that Southampton defended against Newcastle, and I think Liverpool got the tools to expose that kind of defending. Maybe it's my red goggles coming on, Oscar. I don't know, but I've got Salah in the back of my mind. He's in my team. Could be a really good differential for me as captaincy going into game week 16. But definitely between one of those two. Definitely between one of those two. Yet to be decided.
Is that something that comes into your thinking each game week? You know, effective ownership and that fear. Does fear sometimes rule your decisions, would you say?
I think it does have an impact on what I do. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of game weeks ago where I think Haaland was, his effective ownership was nearly 200%, which, what does that mean? That means that, you know, not only do a lot of FPL managers have him, but more or less everybody was captaining him, which, you know, if you've got a rank, if you're happy with your overall rank in FPL and where you are, and I'm reasonably happy, I'm sitting at about 230K, for the season, which is not too bad, right? Going against something like that can, you know, double, if not treble your rank. And yeah, a little bit of fear does creep in, I have to say. I try not to do it. I try and go with who I think is going to be the best captaincy. But sometimes it comes into my thinking. Does it affect the way that you play FPL?
Yeah, it does. I hate to say it, but sometimes it does. You know, if it's a close call between two players, one's low-owned and one's high, I think there's two types of managers. Some will see that as an opportunity to bet on the player who's less owned and expected to be less captain, but some will be happy to go with the higher owned, high captain player and just, you know, chip away at your rank slowly. So it depends on what kind of FPL manager you are. I'm certainly the latter, and for that reason, I'll be on Haaland. Even if I felt De Bruyne, or if I still had Salah, if I felt they were equal, or perhaps even slightly better, I'd probably err on the side of caution. But there's no right or wrong way to play the game, which is the beautiful thing about FPL. And I don't want to suggest against De Bruyne or Salah too much, because they are very good options as well. I think those three are the standouts.
Yeah, it's a really nice point to end on that, Oscar. I like that. Play FPL your own way. Absolutely the right thing to do. Before we go, though, we should mention that game week 16 is the end of the first window in which you can use your first wild card, right? So if you haven't used your wild card yet, I used mine a few weeks ago, went very averagely, if I remember rightly. But if you have still got your first wild card in your back pocket, it's use it or lose it time, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So if you still got it, you absolutely use it now. In a way, it's almost like using a free hit this week, because you've got a team that you can set up exactly how you want as a 1 week punt. And then after that, you've got unlimited transfers to, you know, change your team as you please. So yeah, if you still got your wild card, you absolutely pull the trigger now and set your team up as a 1 week punt in a way.
Yeah, fair play. If you've still got your wild card in your pocket, use it or lose it is the message here from us on the Off the Bench podcast. So we've got one game week to go ahead of the World Cup. A lot of FPL managers will be either playing their wild card if they haven't played it yet already, or at least looking to make their week's transfers count, Oscar, right? And we've got, of course, the third round of the League Cup coming up in midweek. So you've got to make sure that your players get through that and make sure that they're all fit and firing and available and ready for the weekend's action. So I think my advice, and I think yours would be too, Oscar, to just hold those transfers. Of course, you've got the wild card. Feel free. You can do what you like with the wild card, right? But if you've got just one or two free transfers, maybe just hold them until that League Cup action is out the way and you know that your players are available for the weekend. As usual, Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday with the official FPL podcast, talking through all the best strategies ahead of game week 16. Until next time, Oscar, been great to have you on the podcast, and speak to you soon.
Pleasure. Thank you.